Welcome in to the Bleed Tech Blue Radio Game Day Podcast. Ben Carlisle, publisher, BleedTechBlue.com, joining you. It's game day. Louisiana Tech kicks off its 2019 season on the road tonight at the University of Texas. Kickoff set for 7 p.m. inside Darrell Royal Memorial Stadium. Just to tell you a little bit about this, you know, we at Bleed Tech Blue, or myself, has never done a game day podcast to give our listeners a chance to hear a real breakdown of the opponent. So that's going to be the goal this year. We'll release this podcast every Saturday, shooting to release it every Saturday at midnight so that, you know, if you're an out-of-towner driving to a home game, if you're driving to a road game, you can always check in with the podcast on your way down and get a good feeling of the opponent that you're going to see that Saturday afternoon or evening. If you or your company would like to sponsor our game day podcast, super reasonable rate, heck, I'll send you a free Bleed Tech Blue shirt in the mail if you'd like to sponsor. But that's kind of the goal of the game day podcast. We're really looking to kind of give the fans and give you, the listener, a more informed view of Tech's opponent. So let's take a look first at what can we expect from this Louisiana Tech team now that they've gone through their 25 days of fall camp. You know, what are the strengths of this team? What are the weaknesses? What do they do well offensively? What do they do well defensively? How do the special teams look? I know that's a big conversation, especially when we get into the season, especially, you know, here lately. So let's take a look first at the offense. For me, I think the strengths of this offense are at the receiver position, particularly at the outside receiver spot. When you talk about Adrian Hardy, he's coming back for his junior year after over 1,100 yards. Isaiah Graham, the TCU transfer, sat out the 2018 season. He's back. He'll start opposite Hardy. Malik Stanley was brought in from South Alabama as a grad transfer. He's had a really extremely impressive camp. A kid that's 6'3", 225, 230 pounds. That guy that's going to be a threat in the red zone. That's one thing that I think we're going to see this year that we haven't seen the past couple years, is the ability to stretch a defense thin in the red zone, to put some pressure on, to be more creative with the playbook, to have a guy down there that's truly a weapon from a size standpoint. So I think the strengths of the offense are obviously the receiver position. I think Jamar, listen, he's had 27 career starts. We've talked ad nauseum about it. He's up and down, inconsistent week in and week out. Can he put together a solid senior season that it really allows this offense to reach its fullest potential? He's been extremely impressive in fall camp. I think he completed 76% of his throws. He's making less mistakes, has a better understanding of the offense. As he told us Tuesday in the press conference, he believes that his experience at the Manning Passing Academy is going to pay big dividends. Watching a lot of film, and I thought this was really interesting. He didn't say that he's just been watching a lot of film. He said he's really been watching a lot of film with his offensive linemen, which I think is key. You know, he's got a good rapport with them. They know what he's seeing. He knows what they're seeing. Hopefully that pays dividends into the season. At the running back position, Israel Tucker will get the first snap tonight inside Darrell R. Royal Memorial Stadium. For the Bulldogs, obviously, Jaquise Dancy will play a role as well, along with Justin Henderson. All three of those guys have had a solid camp. The big key tonight will be getting Dancy, I feel like, in some space, allowing him to make some plays against some of the Texas linebackers that are inexperienced and don't have a lot of game experience, per se. Now, weaknesses, what are we concerned heading into this matchup tonight? I think the big thing for me offensively is the right tackle spot. Obviously, Jawight Stallworth is back, and he'll start tonight. Anton Lewis was brought in from a junior college this summer. Iffy throughout camp, you can see the talent, but just doesn't have a great understanding of all the calls up front. So how will the noise affect you know, not only Stallworth and Lewis on the offensive line, but, you know, all five of those guys up front, can they get the snap counts right, or is Texas going to be able to get a jump off the ball and get some pressure on Jamar? But really, you know, I think if Tech can protect Jamar, give him some time to throw, I think the receivers for Tech have a great opportunity to make a big impact in this game, and I'll tell you why here in a few minutes. But switching over to the defensive side, it's a new look for Tech on defense. Obviously, Bob Diaco is the new defensive coordinator, spent the 2018 season at Oklahoma. He's installed his new 3-4 scheme, whereas, you know, in years past, Tech's played a three-man front probably somewhere in the neighborhood of 25% of the time. This year, they'll play a three-man front 60-65% of the time. So it's going to be a new look. But I'm excited to see what they can do. The strength of the defense is going to be in the secondary. Amik Robertson's back for his junior year. Legarius Sneed has made the move to safety. Mike Sam will start opposite Amik at cornerback. And then B.J. Williamson, a redshirt freshman, will make his first career start Saturday night after beating out Darrell Lewis for the safety spot. I think all four of those guys have an opportunity to one day play in the NFL. Obviously, you know, a little bit down the road when you talk about a player like Williamson. But the big key concern for me coming into this game is the defensive line. How much do they have in the tank? You know, they're six or seven deep. You talk about Courtney Wallace at nose tackle. He's in the best shape of his career, but is he ready to play 65 snaps? I don't see it. So hopefully DJ Jackson can give some solid snaps to that nose tackle spot until Kevin Murphy, the UConn grad transfer, gets back from his broken foot. He has began to practice. Defensive end, obviously we know Milton Williams will make his first start. Kadarian Mason was selected as a captain. I don't think either one of those guys are expected to provide a huge pass rush, but both those guys are solid players, should be good against the run. Linebacking core, Trey Baldwin, the Missouri transfer, will make his first start. I think he and Colin Scott on the interior have to play big in this game, in the run game, especially when you talk about Sam Ehlinger, the Texas quarterback, you know, highly touted, 41 touchdowns a year ago. If they're going to stop him in the run game along with Keontae Ingram, the running back, those two guys have to provide great run support if Tech's going to be successful defensively. Then the outside linebackers, James Jackson, Willie Baker. We got a little glimpse of what Baker can do in the Hawaii Bowl last year. Hopefully that carries over into 2019 and he starts this season off in a big way. Now, shifting to the other side, Texas. Where's this Texas program back? Sam Ehlinger, the quarterback, declared Texas is back after they defeated Georgia in the Sugar Bowl to win 10 games for the first time since 2009. Tom Herman's doing a really good job with this program, entering his third season. The Longhorns are a popular pick for the college football playoff in 2019, so we'll see if they live up to, you know, everything that they're billed to be. Personally, I think they're a little bit overrated. Now, are they a possible top 10 team? Certainly. But offensively, only five starters are back. Defensively, they lost nine starters, so they'll have only two starters back. A year ago, yes, they finished top 10 in the country, but they also played 10 one-possession games. They went 7-3 in those games, so they could have easily went 5-5 in those games, ended up 8-6 overall. And, you know, you talk about some of those one-possession games. These aren't good programs. You talk about Tulsa, Kansas, Kansas State, Texas Tech, Baylor. You know, a bunch of teams that weren't overly talented, you know, especially to the level that Texas is recruiting at these days. So it'll be interesting to see how Texas comes into this game. They lost their last two season openers to Maryland. They lost to Maryland at home in 2017. On the road at Maryland in 2018. So we'll see. I'm sure they'll come out with a bunch of energy early and kind of look to punch Tech in the mouth and kind of make a statement. But I think Tech has the ability to take that punch and bounce back. Now, offensively, what makes Texas good? Well, first things first, Sam Ehlinger, the quarterback, back for his junior year. He's got 20 starts for his career. I think he's 12-8 as a starter. So not really winning, you know, he really struggled some as a freshman, better last year as a sophomore going 10-4, but this is his year. You know, he's a junior. He's really looking to step up, prove himself as a an NFL prospect. He's a kid that's from Austin, so he's a hometown hero type of guy. Now, who will be his main weapons? You talk about Keontae Ingram at running back. He's expected to be 100%. I know he's nursed a knee injury or deep bone bruise on his knee throughout most of camp, but he's supposed to be ready to go. And then at the receiver spot, the big name to watch is 6'6" Colin Johnson. Forwent the NFL draft last year. He's back for his senior year. Him and Amik matched up with one another. It's going to be one heck of a battle throughout the night tonight. So on the offensive line, you talk about, you know, where do things stand now? Texas, or if you listen to Tom Herman's press conference on Monday, he doesn't believe that this group is very deep. They got some guys that have played. When you talk about Sam Cosmi at left tackle, Zach Shackelford at center, he's coming back from an injury as well. Derek Kirksetter is a guy that can play guard or tackle. He's expected to start at guard tonight. But, you know, Denzel Okafor at right tackle has never started a game. Parker Braun is a grad transfer from Georgia Tech. He's had some issues as a pass blocker, rightfully so, coming from that Georgia Tech system that was just pure option, you know, 95% of the time. So can Tech take advantage of an offensive line that are still getting things sorted out? That's a good question, and that'll be something to certainly pay attention to early on. Defensively, I mentioned that Texas only returns two starters. Now, how does defensive coordinator Todd Orlando call things early in the game? That's a big question for me. Does he protect his young cornerbacks on the outside when you're talking about sophomores Jalen Green and Kobe Boyce? Does he give them some help over the top, freeing things up front for Tech, allowing them to pick up some yards in the run game? Or does he play his normal defense, leave his corners on an island, and take the risk that Adrian Hardy and Isaiah Graham could potentially beat him? That's a big thing to pay attention to. Now, you talk about the youth on the defensive side. They're starting six sophomores and two true freshmen. The two true freshmen will start at middle linebacker, Adioe, and then at nose tackle, Keandre Coburn. Coburn's 340 pounds. So can Tech take advantage of these two true freshmen in the middle of the defense playing two key positions? That's something to watch, and that's why I believe that Tech has an opportunity to move the football on this one and potentially score some points. Now, what will Texas have going for them on the defensive side of the ball? Well, they're going to run more of a 3-3-5 scheme. Sometimes they'll go to a 3-4, but it's mainly a 3-3-5 scheme. Orlando loves to bring a lot of heat. And I think, you know, you talk about the crowd noise that I mentioned earlier. If there is a bunch of crowd noise, that could put Tech's offensive line into some predicaments, especially if they're not able to communicate pre-snap about some assignments. So it'll be interesting to see the game of chess that Skip Holtz plays with Todd Orlando, the Texas defensive coordinator, especially early in this one as both teams are trying to settle in. Now, what can Tech do to expose Texas in this game if they want to have an opportunity to get this game to the fourth quarter with an opportunity to win the football game? I think Tech, like I mentioned earlier, they have an advantage at receiver. The young corners for Texas, when Boyce and Green, and then you have the experienced receivers, the older Big 12 signees, when you talk about Graham starting his career at TCU, Hardy signing with Oklahoma. I think they can take advantage of these young Texas corners and get them into some spots to where the Tech can make some big plays. But Jamar is going to have to get those guys the ball. If Jamar gets into a rhythm early, it's not going to surprise me to see Tech throw the ball 45, 50 times, get into a lot of hurry-up type stuff offensively so that, you know, that Texas defense, that young Texas defense kind of gets out of sorts, starts rushing, potentially has some breakdowns in coverage, allowing Tech to potentially get an easy touchdown or two. That's something I'm really watching for. Tech worked a lot on their up-tempo throughout fall camp, especially late in camp. So it was pretty obvious that they're going to have an opportunity to try to get that Texas defense out of sorts a little bit. Now, if Tech is going to stay in it, like I said, Jamar has to make the throws that he made throughout fall camp. He's had those inconsistencies, but generally speaking, when he plays some of these Power 5 opponents, you talk about Arkansas, South Carolina 2 years ago, LSU last year, he generally plays pretty well against these P5 opponents, so I'm excited to see what he can do. Now, looking at the defensive side, if Tech has a strength, you looking at the offense or the defense, I would say it's their defense. I think Bob Diaco's unit's extremely talented, especially in the back end, and they're going to be relied on to make some plays throughout the year that keeps Tech in some ball games, especially if the offense, you know, struggles through these inconsistencies. So, looking at Texas, their strength is on the offensive side, particularly, like I mentioned, Sam Ehlinger. Can they keep Ehlinger in the pocket? Can they force him to beat him with his arm? Can they keep Texas out of the third and shorts where Herman likes to go to the QB power so often? That's something I'm really going to be paying attention to in this one. But if Tech can force Texas into some third and seven, third and 10, even third and longer than that, the secondary is going to have some opportunities to make some plays on the ball, especially considering that Texas loves to throw a bunch of 50-50 jump balls and allow, you know, Colin Johnson with his 6'6" frame to go up and make a big play. Now, how do I think this game plays out? What are some keys to the game? I don't think there's any secret. Texas is a better team. Texas is more talented. They've obviously recruited at a higher level than Tech has, but they're much less experienced, which is why I will be extremely disappointed if Tech doesn't keep it close, at least through the first half. Texas is going to be amped up. They're going to be ready to go, but Tech has to be able to withstand that early punch in the mouth. They can't fall behind 21-0 like we saw down in Baton Rouge at LSU last year. Jamar's got to continue to play his game and allow his playmakers to make plays. The defense has got to settle in early, settle in with Diaco's new scheme, a scheme that, you know, sure, Tom Herman has seen it from his days at Houston playing against Diaco's UConn squads, but he hasn't seen this version of it. It's a little bit different version. Hopefully, they can mix some things up, give Texas some looks that they're not all that comfortable with, and then, you know, keep this game tight. Now, how will it play out? I think Tech has it somewhere. Texas has a lead 2017, 2014 at the half. You see Texas stretch the lead out a little bit in the third quarter before ultimately prevailing 41-24. So that's kind of how I see things going. Hopefully this gives you a pretty good understanding of, you know, what to expect from both Louisiana Tech, from Texas, some keys to the game, and some things that we'll be watching for and certainly discussing on Bleed Tech Blue Radio next Tuesday night. Like I said, we're going to do this podcast each and every week. We'll be more of a specific game preview that gets to know each opponent more in depth each week. But we'd like to thank you for listening. I'm Ben Carlisle, publisher, BleedTechBlue.com. We certainly welcome you to join us at the website for only $9.95 a month. We are your home for Louisiana Tech Athletics. We'll see you.